The massive news that Archbishop Vigano is going to be excommunicated by the Catholic Church for schism has just been incredibly explosive in the news. All sorts of people are discussing this. And I was curious what the Society of St. Pius X had to say about Vigano, since Vigano is attempting to identify his actions with the founder of the Society of St. Pius X, Marcel Lefebvre. So stay tuned, where we will take a look at what the SSPX has said about this connection. Well, in this video, I'm not going to focus on the status of the Society of St. Pius X in relation to the Catholic Church. I have done many videos on this to that end. In fact, I've done some even very recently within the last few weeks. So I recommend that people go and take a look at those. I'm going to limit myself mostly to comments related to this question about sedevacantism surrounding Vigano, and then the SSPX's response about this, as well as also what Marcel Lefebvre thought about sedevacantism. And for those who are not familiar, sedevacantism properly defined is the notion that the See of St. Peter, the papacy, is currently not occupied. There's no pope at this time. That's what sedevacantism means. And it's not necessarily the position that there hasn't been a pope since 1958, though that does describe some sedevacantist. But rather, sedevacantism, again, is just the notion that there currently is no pope at this time. And some sedevacantists believe that that is a problem that has gone back to 1958. Others say it's a problem that is unique just to this current pontificate with Pope Francis. And they'll say all the popes prior to Pope Francis were legitimate popes. However, Francis is not a pope. And so there's various flavors and kinds of sedevacantists out there. The kind that Vigano is promoting is the view that Pope Francis is not the pope. However, he doesn't seem to question popes prior to Pope Francis. Although I suspect that's coming, because Vigano does reject the Second Vatican Council. And all of the popes since Vatican II have promulgated Vatican II and confirmed Vatican II. Reconfirmed it, I should say. Paul VI ultimately promulgated it, and all subsequent popes have reconfirmed it in their magisterium. So it's only a matter of time before he questions their validity as well. So I wanted to see what the SSPX had to say, given that Vigano is saying, hey, you know what I'm doing here is basically the same thing as the Society of St. Pius X's founder, Marcel Lefebvre. And he says, well, Marcel Lefebvre was excommunicated, but then that excommunication was lifted after he died. That's factually erroneous. Marcel Lefebvre's excommunication was never lifted. I've gone through the document of the lifting of the excommunications of the four bishops that Lefebvre ordained, and it nowhere says that Lefebvre's excommunication is lifted. And as a side note, yes, the church does have the authority to lift that excommunication after the fact. It also has the authority to anathematize and excommunicate people after they die. So we have, of course, the authority of the church can do either. It can anathematize and excommunicate people after they died, or lift an excommunication after the fact. In the case of Lefebvre, he was excommunicated while he was alive and died excommunicated, and that excommunication has never been lifted. So we saw an erroneous comment made by Vigano. He's saying, hey, look, his excommunication was lifted whenever he died. So in other words, implying, well, my excommunication too is one day going to be lifted after the fact when I pass away. And so basically saying, hey, I'm going to be vindicated in the way that Lefebvre was vindicated. A comparison that does not bode well for Vigano, given that, again, Lefebvre's excommunication has not been lifted. So that would then be a really bad comparison for him. But I was curious, okay, well, what does the Society of St. Pius X have to say about this connection? Because he's trying to identify himself with this movement. And, you know, the Society of St. Pius X does not in any, at least explicit ways, say that Pope Francis isn't the Pope. Now, whether or not they actually recognize his authority is a different question, but usually you talk to somebody in the Society of St. Pius X and they'll say Francis is Pope, but he's a heretic and he's a bad Pope and is this and that. Okay, so I wanted to see what they would say since he's kind of pulling the Lefebvre card. And so let me share my screen because they did give an announcement about Vigano's claim here. And here it is. It says, okay, let me try to zoom in on that just a little bit more. Okay, this is from an article on June 24th, so 3 days ago. The Vatican activates extrajudicial proceedings against Vigano. A little explanation, what is extrajudicial criminal trial? According to the DDF, published on a document on June 5th, 2022, the extrajudicial criminal trial, sometimes called an administrative trial, is a form of criminal trial which reduces the formalities provided for in the judicial trial in order to accelerate the course of justice. It does not eliminate the procedural guarantees required for a fair judgment. For offenses reserved to the DDF, that's the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith at the Vatican, it is up to the DDF alone on a case-by-case basis, at the request of the ordinary, to decide whether to proceed this way. Just like a judicial trial, an extrajudicial criminal trial can take place at the DDF, which is the case for Vigano, or be entrusted to a lower authority. The decree of summons mentions the charge Vigano will face during the trial. The crime of schism is put forward because of certain public affirmations negating the elements necessary to maintain communion with the Catholic Church. Denial of the legitimacy of Pope Francis, rupture of communion with him, and rejection of the Second Vatican Council. All schismatic acts. Following the summons, Vigano published a communique available online to respond to these accusations. We explore that on the day that this information came out. So I have a whole show on it if you want to watch it. He defends himself in various ways, invoking the doctrinal wanderings of the current pontificate. I would have to add alleged here, and they're incorrect about the matter. Rejecting neo-modernist errors and asserting his case compares to that of Lefebvre, also summoned in his time to the Palace of the former Holy Office. There is, however, one point which significantly differentiates him from the founder of the Society of St. Pius X. Archbishop Vigano makes a clear declaration of sedevacantism in this text, which I have to pause there and say, that part I do agree with. This very clearly is sedevacantism. So for all of the people out there who have been gaslighting us for years saying that if you say that Francis isn't the Pope, that's not sedevacantism. Look, even the Society of St. Pius X recognizes that that is sedevacantism, because, again, the definition of the word sedevacante is empty chair, and so it's quite explicitly sedevacantism. In other words, according to him, Pope Francis is not the Pope. How does he explain this? Because of a defect of consent, a very, I would add, dubious argument that he employs, from Cardinal Bergoglio when accepting the papacy. Now, notice again that Vigano completely ignores this notion of universal and peaceful acceptance of this pontificate, completely ignores that, and then comes up with this dubious claim of a defect of consent. That is, according to Vigano, Bergoglio considered the papacy as something other than what it really was. He accepted the pontifical office without fully consenting, and this error resulted in the nullity of his acceptance. His pontificate would therefore be that of a placeholder. Now, here's kind of the money quote from them. Archbishop Lefebvre and the Society of St. Pius X, have not ventured down that perilous road. And so they're saying, hey, this is a perilous road. They're rejecting it. They're rejecting what Vigano is doing here by denying that Francis is the Pope. So they're quite explicitly rejecting sedevacantism. They're saying not only they reject sedevacantism, but they're saying Lefebvre also rejected sedevacantism. Now, in fairness to them, I do think that Lefebvre never explicitly affirmed sedevacantism, but there are some very sedevacantist-leaning positions that he expressed that need to be given some interaction on part with the apologists for the Society of St. Pius X. They will want to engage what I'm about to present to you. I do find it interesting, though, again, the Society is trying to distance itself from Vigano at this point. That's interesting because, again, there are a lot of people out there who just love Vegano. They are Vegano-splainers. They're all on board with Vegano. And at the same time, they're also all on board with the Society of St. Pius X. So they're going to have to make a choice at this point. And that, again, it kind of shows that these dissenting movements that are out there are fragmenting more and more and more and more and more. It's kind of like Protestantism. The more that time goes on, the more and more they fragment. That's exactly what this is like. And you're starting to see more rifts and more fragmentation. That's why they have to have these dubious efforts to unite the clans. They try to unite the clans with everything except the papacy, which is literally, the papacy is the very thing that unites the church. They turn to everything except the one thing that can glue all these groups together. And because they don't have that one thing that could hold the groups together, they continue to fragment, again, like Eastern Orthodoxy and like Protestantism. And we're seeing that more and more now. So those who have been out there defending both the Society and Vegano, they got to make a choice at this point. And so you're going to see these groups continue to fragment more and more. But since the Society raised the question with Lefebvre in relation to set of Vacantism, I thought it would be opportune for us to explore some of the statements that Lefebvre has made that were pretty set of Vacantist friendly, I should say. We're going to explore it from a link that I put in the show notes from Father Chicada back in 2006, I believe. He posted this. It was actually authored by John Daly, but posted on his website. And there's quite a few things that the SSPX apologists will want to interact with, but I'm going to bring it to your attention and hope that they will interact with some of these and explain, you know, why their founder held to some of these positions. All right, so there's a lot of them to go over. First one, did Lefebvre admit that said of a contest might well be right? Here's something that he said March 30th, 1986 in the Angelus. You know, for some time, many people, the set of Vacantists, have been saying there is no more Pope. But I think that for me, it was not yet the time to say that because it was not sure. It was not evidence. And so what you're going to see from Lefebvre is, to my knowledge, he never explicitly comes out and says the see is empty. But he certainly says things that would lead to that conclusion, and he certainly is open and friendly to that view, or was open and friendly to that view. The question is therefore definitive. Is Paul VI? Has Paul VI ever been the successor of Peter? If the reply is negative, Paul VI has never been or no longer is Pope. Our attitude will be that of set of Vacante periods, which would simplify the problem. Some theologians say that this is the case, relying on statements of theologians of the past approved by the church. By the way, that's incorrect, that part, approved by the church, who have studied the problem of the heretical pope, the schismatic pope, or the pope who in practice abandons his charge of supreme pastor. Again, that's incorrect information. It is not impossible that this hypothesis will one day, he says, it is not impossible that this hypothesis will one day be confirmed by the church. In other words, you know, it could be that Paul VI isn't the pope, you know, but he wants to say, can't say for sure, but, you know, it could be one day the church is later on going to confirm this and say that, you know, Paul VI wasn't the Pope. Now, as far as did he frequently or respectfully allude to the set of Vacantist explanation of the crisis, note this, to whatever extent the Pope departed from tradition, he would be schismatic. By the way, this is a nonsensical definition of schism. That he and a few others have proposed that is theologically incorrect. He would breach with the church. Theologians such as St. Bellarmine, Cajetan, Journet, and many others have studied this possibility, so it is not something inconceivable. Heresy, schism, ipso facto excommunication, invalidity of election are so many reasons why a pope might, in fact, never have been pope, or might no longer be one. In this obviously very exceptional case, the church would be in a situation similar to that which prevails after the death of a pontiff. Elsewhere, he says, these recent acts of the Pope and bishops with Protestants, animists, and Jews, are they not an active participation in non-Catholic worship as explained by Canon Nas on Canon 1258, paragraph one. First of all, I did address, I have a whole video about Assisi and John Paul II you'll want to watch. And then number two, I have a whole video about a history of communion with Eastern Orthodox that you'll want to observe, where we do have an on and off policy, I guess, with Eastern Orthodox and their reception of communion going back, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, that he's failing to account for. In which case, I cannot see how it is possible to say that the Pope is not suspect of heresy. And if he continues, he is a heretic, a public heretic. That is the teaching of the Church. He says, it seems inconceivable that a successor of Peter could fail in some way to transmit the truth, which he must transmit. For he cannot, without, as it were, disappearing from the papal line, not transmit what the popes have always transmitted. Elsewhere, he says, if it happened that the pope was no longer the servant of truth, he would no longer be pope. Well, I mean, there's quite a few statements that would indicate that, you know, he thinks that the pope was no longer the servant of truth. I mean, even more flagrant comments than that. Here's one quote that I posted a while back from Lefebvre. The see of Peter in the posts of authority in Rome being occupied by antichrists. So the pope and the papacy is occupied by antichrists. The destruction of the kingdom of our Lord is being rapidly carried out, even with his mystical body here below, especially through the corruption of the Holy Mass, which is both the splendid expression of the triumph of our Lord on the cross and the source of the extension of his kingdom over souls and societies. I mean, that's way worse than not promoting and expanding and promulgating the truth. I mean, to be an antichrist is much more extreme than that. And so, again, this is why I say there's plenty of things that he said that would lead to the conclusion, logically, that that Sedevacantism is true, if his premises were true, which they're not. Did he consider Sedevacantists to be upright members of the Church? The author of the article wants to argue undoubtedly, and he gives some sources. Did he avow that his persevering recognition of Paul VI and John Paul II was due more to heroically cautious hesitation than due to any solid conviction? Lefebvre says, while we are certain that the faith the Church has taught for 20 centuries cannot contain error, we are much further from absolute certitude that the Pope is truly Pope. So he's really putting it into question if, you know, the Pope is the Pope. It is possible we may be obliged to believe this Pope is not the Pope. For 20 years, Castro Meyer and I preferred to wait. I think we are waiting for the famous meeting in Assisi if God allows it. Now, Assisi came and he thought that, you know, this is the absolute worst. You know, the worst has come. And I do acknowledge there's some problems with it, but not as bad as they would have you believe when you consider the actual facts. Again, I have a whole video going over it in detail. So though there are things to criticize, he's going to see this as just outright apostasy. And so, okay, if he's saying it's conditioned on the outcome of Assisi 86, whether or not the Pope is not the Pope, and he thinks that Assisi 86, whenever it did come around, is absolute apostasy and is the worst thing ever. Doesn't that logically then follow that he would have to say John Paul II isn't Pope? So again, his position, you know, the Society of St. Pius X isn't really giving you a full balanced take here. They're just saying Lefebvre and the Society never ventured down that perilous road. Well, maybe he didn't explicitly and formally do that, but I don't know. What would you consider this stuff? Don't you think that that's venturing down that road to one degree or another? Of course, this is not information that they are giving to their readers here, which I think that they should have addressed. Okay, so more from them. I don't know if the time has come to say that the Pope is a heretic. Perhaps after his famous meeting of Assisi, perhaps we must say that the Pope is a heretic, is an apostate. Now, I don't wish yet to say it formally and solemnly, but it seems at first sight that it is impossible for a Pope to be formally and publicly heretical. So it is possible we may be obliged to believe the Pope is not the Pope. And again, considering his view of the outcome of Assisi, what does that then suggest? Is it that Lefebvre held privately that the Pope was no longer the Pope, and privately adopted said of a contism after Assisi of 86, that he privately adopt that position, but just never formally came out. If that's the case, then I think Vigano is really not that far from Lefebvre. Vigano would just kind of be continuing the work of Lefebvre. Did he envisage declaring the legal vacancy of the Holy See if the situation continued unchanged? He says, that is why I beseech your eminence to do everything in your power to get us a pope, a true pope, successor of Peter, in line with his predecessors, the firm and watchful guardian of the deposit of faith. The 80-year-old cardinals have a strict right to present themselves at the conclave, and their enforced absence will necessarily raise the question of the validity of the election. He goes on to say, elsewhere, it is impossible for Rome to remain indefinitely outside tradition. It's impossible for the moment they are in rupture with their predecessors. This is impossible. They are no longer in the Catholic Church. Well, wouldn't many in the society say that Rome is in rupture with their predecessors? So they're no longer Catholic, right? Ergo, the Pope isn't the Pope. So again, it looks to me like Lefebvre set the stage for sedevacantism, added all the building blocks there, but never just formally came out and put it all together explicitly and formally in public. Sort of like what some other content creators on YouTube are doing who promote Vigano and the Society of St. Pius X. They'll lead you to the conclusion that Francis isn't the Pope, but they won't have they won't actually come out and say that explicitly for multiple reasons. Did he insist that settling the question of whether the Vatican II popes were truly popes or not was an important duty not to be evaded? He says, a grave problem confronts the conscience of the faith of all Catholics since the beginning of Paul VI's pontificate. How can a pope who is truly successor of Peter, to whom the assistance of the Holy Ghost has been promised, preside over the most radical and far-reaching destruction of the Church ever known, in a short a time beyond what any heresiarch has ever achieved? The question must one day be answered. So, again, leaving it open to adopt sedevacantism. And by the way, he's saying all this about Paul VI. What would he say about Pope Francis today? So I really think that the SSPX apologists need to interact with this stuff. Otherwise, they will continue to become more and more fragmented. Its followers will continue to become more and more fragmented. I think they need to do some damage control here. So I anticipate that we will get from some of the household names who defend the Society of St. Pius X. I suspect they'll come out and attempt to address this, right? Now, some priests in the society say that we Catholics need not worry about what is happening in the Vatican. We have the true sacraments, true mass, true doctrine. So why worry about whether the Pope is a heretic or an imposter or whatever? Wow. It is of no importance to us. But I think that's not true. If any man is important in the Church, it is the Pope. Did he hold that Vatican II was unequivocally schismatic? He says, we believe we can affirm purely by internal and external criticism of Vatican II, by analyzing the text and studying the council, ins and outs, that by turning its back on tradition and breaking with the Church of the past, it is a schismatic council, which this is heretical. So this is just one of Lefebvre's many heresies. And it's also schismatic on his part. But he says, the council's in schism. I'm not in schism. Did he hold that Vatican II was unequivocally heretical? In an interview with Tom Chapman's Catholic Crusader in 84, the Archbishop expressly characterized the decree on ecumenism as heretical. So kind of like some of those Catholic YouTubers today who accuse Vatican II of being heretical. They really are taking their cue here from Lefebvre, who said this way before them. Of course, it's a false accusation. Did he believe it is impossible to interpret Vatican II in an Orthodox sense? Well, interestingly enough, at one point he did, since he signed all of the documents of Vatican II. Lefebvre signed all 16 documents. So at least at some point he thought that there was an Orthodox way to interpret it, since he signed the documents, although later on he denied that he signed all the documents. And that puts SSPX apologists in a very difficult position because they either have to say that their founder was lying or that their founder failed to recall something incredibly important like this, like whether or not he signed a document. Now, let me say this. If I were ever part of an ecumenical council, and though I'll never be a bishop, if I were ever a bishop at an ecumenical council, I don't know how I would ever forget whether I signed a document at the council, but okay. Again, it puts them in an interesting position. They have to explain that one. Do you agree to accept the council as a whole? Reply, not religious liberty. It is not possible. Although, again, he signed the document. The Archbishop's words, imagine the kind of interrogation his seminarians would have submitted to if he had accepted the terms of agreement of John Paul II was offering him, blah, 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 blah. Did he reject outright all the conciliar reforms? He says, we consider as null all the post-conciliar reforms and all the acts of Rome accomplished in this impiety, which is against schismatic. Did he say that Vatican II and its popes had founded a new false and schismatic religion? He says, it is not we who are in schism, but the conciliar church. So, again, this is absolute heresy and schism itself. He's saying, you know, I'm not in schism. Rome's in schism with me. I think that for the people out there who defend Lefebvre and defend the society, I think the greatest thing you can do to get them to question following the society is to just let them be confronted with what Lefebvre himself actually said. And once they're confronted with how heretical and schismatic this stuff is, I would hope that they would start to question things. That's what I did. At one point I thought Lefebvre was a great guy. And then all of a sudden I started seeing some more of this stuff and said, okay, I see. There's a problem here. He says, Rome has lost the faith, my dear friends. Rome is in apostasy. Again, this is heretical. If Rome is in apostasy, then you do have the church has defected from the faith. Therefore, Catholicism is not true. These are not words in the air. It is the truth. Rome is in apostasy. They have left the church. This is sure. Okay, this is 87. So after Assisi. Now, you remember he was saying in 86 before Assisi, hey, if Rome is in apostasy, then, you know, the Pope isn't the Pope. So sedevacantism would be true. Well, now he's saying Rome is in apostasy. Ergo, well, he's not going to come out and fill in the blank, but that would then mean that you believe the Pope isn't the Pope, right? So this is why some people think maybe that Lefebvre did become a sedevacantist, but privately and never publicly said it. I mean, certainly his position would lead to this conclusion. Again, this is all stuff that SSPX News is not addressing. John Paul II now continually diffuses the principles of a false religion, which has for its result a general apostasy, he says. He says, this council represents, in our view, talking about Vatican II, and in the view of the Roman authorities, a new church, which they will call the conciliar church. He says, the church which affirms such errors is both schismatic and heretical. The conciliar church is therefore not Catholic. To whatever extent popes, bishops, priests, or faithful adhere to this new church, they separate themselves from the Catholic Church. To be publicly associated with the sanction of excommunication would be a mark of honor and a sign of orthodoxy before the faithful. Let me stop there. It's interesting because this is actually one of the errors that Martin Luther was excommunicated for in the papal bull Exsurge Domine, which, again, ironically, is what Vigano names his schismatic seminary. And even more ironically, Vigano also cherishes his excommunication. So both Lefebvre and Vigano share this condemned error with Martin Luther. To be publicly associated with the sanction of excommunication would be a mark of honor in a society of orthodoxy before the faithful who have a strict right to know that the priests they approach are not in communion with a counterfeit church. So, I mean, he's just happy to openly declare this. This union which liberal Catholics want between the church and revolution is an adulterous union. Adulterous. This adulterous union can only beget bastards. Where are these bastards? Lefebvre says. They are the new rights. So he's calling the new right a bastard. Now, some SSPX apologists try to, they try to Lefebvre explain it and say that, well, you know, in the French, bastard here doesn't have the negative connotations that it does in English. The right of mass is a bastard right. And here he's talking about the Novus Ordo. The new rite of the Mass is a bastard rite, he says. The sacraments are bastard sacraments. We no longer know whether they are sacraments that give grace. So, yes, he did call into question the validity. He says it's not certain whether or not they are valid. This is why the society tells you not to go. In part, they tell you not to go to a Novus Ordo at all, even if it's properly celebrated. They say just stay home if you don't have access to a society chapel, basically. We no longer know if this mass gives us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the blasphemies and impiety here. The priests emerging from the seminaries are bastard priests. Odd whenever I see a Novus Ordo priest defending Lefebvre. Okay. He continues, if we think that this Reformed liturgy is heretical and invalid, whether because of modifications made in the matter and form or because of the Reformer's intentions inscribed in the new rite in opposition to the intention of the Catholic Church, evidently we cannot participate in these Reformed rites because we should be taking part in a sacrilegious act. This opinion is founded on serious reasons, he says. He continues, the radical and extensive changes made in the Roman Rite of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and their resemblance to the modifications made by Luther oblige Catholics who remain loyal to their faith to question the validity of the new rite. Who better than Reverend Laurier to make an informed contribution to resolving this problem? And they continue to offer commentary and say, moreover, Lefebvre personally conditionally reordained many priests who had been ordained in the 68 rite and reconfirmed those purportedly confirmed in the new rite by the new bishops. So did he hold that John Paul II and his henchmen, quote unquote, were excommunicated antichrists? He says, so we are to be excommunicated by modernists, by people who have been condemned by previous popes. So what can that really do? We are condemned by men who are themselves condemned. Well, if that's true, then John Paul II isn't Pope, right, Lefebvre? See, he won't ever come out and say that, though, but it's so clear that his position leads to that, and it's kind of implied in some ways that he may have privately held to that. I'm not aware of him ever explicitly saying it. Post-consecration statement says this in 1998. The Archbishop stated, going even beyond even his 15th June press conference, that those who had excommunicated himself, those who had excommunicated him had themselves long been excommunicated. So that would be John Paul II. So he would be saying John Paul II is excommunicated. Well, if John Paul II is excommunicated, then how's he Pope, right? Do y'all see how sinister this is? Do y'all see how disingenuous it is for the society to say this 3 days ago, that Lefebvre and the society never ventured down that perilous road? I mean, it seems to me like in many ways, Vigano's just continuing what Lefebvre started and wouldn't come out and just publicly say. He says, the See of Peter and the post of authority in Rome being occupied by antichrists. Elsewhere, he says, we have been suspended ad divinis by the conciliar church and from the conciliar church to which we have no wish to belong. We do not belong to this religion. We do not accept this religion. We belong to the old religion, the Catholic religion, not to this universal religion as it is called today. It is no longer the Catholic religion. I mean, here's what blows me away is people say, the Society of St. Pius X isn't in schism. You know, they belong to the Catholic Church. Lefebvre didn't even think he was part of this Catholic Church. He thought the Catholic Church is some false church and that he's preserving the Catholic Church. Even he didn't think that he was in communion with the Catholic Church. Clearly, the Society doesn't, when you really listen to what it says, sure doesn't seem to think that it's in communion with the Catholic Church. Now, they'll spin it and say that they are, but when you listen to everything that they say, they clearly don't think that they're part in this communion. And so I think it's more important to actually hear what the society itself says and then make a determination, not just listening to what Rome says. Although I think Rome is the authoritative one here. I should be very happy, he says, to be excommunicated from this conciliar church. It is a church that I do not recognize. I belong to the Catholic Church. See, again, he redefines what the Catholic Church is. Same way like Martin Luther says that he's still Catholic, you know, or a Protestant says, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church for the Protestants who hold to the Nicene Creed, which, by the way, the Southern Baptists are going to be professing now. Even the Southern Baptists can say they believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, but they redefine what Catholic means. And so that's what Lefebvre did as well. He says, we have never wished to belong to this system that calls itself the conciliar church. To be excommunicated by a decree of your eminence would be irrefutable proof that we do not. We ask for nothing better than to be declared excommunicated, excluded from impious communion with infidels. So did he consciously employ a set of a Contes seminary professor at Econe? They claim that he did. Okay. They have more. I put a link to it in the show notes. You could go and read it at your own leisure. But there's a lot of Lefebvre-splaining that really needs to be done by the SSPX apologists, and I look forward to seeing their interaction. They don't generally actually interact with the facts, but maybe they'll do that this time, given how bad some of this stuff is for Lefebvre and their founder, and how inconsistent I would say the statement released by the society actually is in relation to Vigano and his set of occultism. Seems to me like Vigano might be more SSPX than the SSPX these days. Maybe the SSPX has departed from their founder so much that Vigano actually resembles the SSPX more than the SSPX today. This is why you have groups who broke away from the SSPX saying that the SSPX has become too modernist and has abandoned Lefebvre's positions. Is it oddly the case that Vigano is more faithful to Lefebvre than the Society of St. Pius X today? I don't know. Again, look forward to the Lefebvre-splainers and society explainers out there. Perhaps they can do a show addressing this instead of saying Michael Lofton is a problem and stuff like that. Although it's true, I am a problem for them and I'll continue to be. Anyways, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Hope y'all enjoyed this. Let me know what you thought about it in the comment section. We'll see you soon. God bless. Hey friends, do you want others to discover why the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus established? And do you want to help people make sense of all the confusion in the Catholic Church today? Help contribute to this mission by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/reasonandtheology. By doing so, you'll also get access to exclusive content for patrons only. Also, if you want to deepen your faith, there are free ebooks and even courses that you can sign up for by visiting reason.podia.com. Hey friends, I'm now teaching as an adjunct professor at Catholic Polytechnic University, and I am excited to announce that we will be offering the first ever Magisterial Studies Certificate Program. It consists of three courses: an Introduction to the Magisterium, Councils, Dogmas, Canons, and Decrees, and Evaluating Magisterial Teachings. If you want to further your education and learn more about Catholic teaching authority, this is the program for you. Check out CatholicPolytechnic.org and click on the Certificate tab at the top to sign up for the course today.